glad to have you here with us. I tell you what, it's such an honor to open up the Word of God and to share it with those who are hungry for it. Amen. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty, for they shall be filled. And I know you're hungry this morning for the Word of God. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to just get in this real quickly here and then go over to the book of Romans, so don't get too comfortable there in Hebrews. On the screens, if you can go to Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, we're opening up our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand and our happy, good-looking ushers will be in the aisles now, ready to give you a Bible. You can just lift up your hand and they'll give you one. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. That one, it is yours to keep. Our goal here, as always, is to teach you the Word of God in a fun way. We're not going to be boring this morning. At least we're going to try not to be. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at a wonderful passage of Scripture here in verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," him being God, "for he that cometh to God," notice this, "must," this is not optional here, "he that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is, and number two, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's read that first part of verse 6 again. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe." Notice that if we are living a life without faith, at that very moment, we are living a life that is not pleasing to God. That without faith, it is impossible to please him. For you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It's amazing to me how many people want to knock the message of faith. Even preachers preaching against the subject of faith. I think it's all the enemy's tactics to get us living a life without it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. If we could have every other Christian ingredient in your life, but if you are missing a faith walk, if you're not living by faith, then it's impossible to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. We must believe in him. We are to have faith in God. And I love what Hebrews chapter 11 does. It highlights men and women who made a decision to live by faith. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 11, let's just look at a couple of scriptures here, just the start of them. Verse 7, "By faith Noah," go down to verse 8, "By faith Abraham." Verse 9, "By faith he sojourned." Verse 11, "Through faith." Verse 13, "These all died in faith." Verse 17, "By faith, Abraham." Verse 20, "By faith, Isaac." Verse 21, "By faith, Jacob." Verse 22, "By faith, Joseph." Verse 23, "By faith, Moses." Verse 24, "By faith, Moses." You can go through here. Verse 28, "Through faith." Verse 29, "By faith." Verse 30, "By faith." Verse 31, "By faith." And what it's talking about here are men and women who lived a life by faith, who lived a life through faith, who lived a life above the natural. Their faith accessing God's help, and he quenched the violence of fires, and by faith brought children back again from the dead, and by faith God did some amazing things for these people because they chose to live by faith. Friends, we as Christians, not just as a church, not just as Word of Life, we as Christians ought to be able to point to things in our life like they did here and say, we did that by faith. See these healthy kids, they're healthy by faith. See this marriage restored, it was restored by faith. We as a church, we could point to these walls and say, this sheetrock, we got it by faith. The chairs you're sitting on, we believe God for those chairs. You sitting in those seats, we believe God for that. Through faith, we built this building. And you ought to be able to walk in your house and see that sofa you're sitting on, we got that by faith. See that chair over there? It was through faith that that came into this household. See all these bills? We're paying those by faith. Our God is with us. Our God is helping us. Our God is enabling us. And all the while you're doing that, guess what God is doing? He's smiling from ear to ear. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But when you live by faith, like these people live by faith, ooh, buddy, is He ever pleased. And so our goal here, and it should be the goal of every church, honestly, but our goal here at the start of this year is to teach us how to do this, to teach us as believers how to live by faith, not just to obtain promises, but to also please our Lord, not just to receive blessings, but to also please our Father, for without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So, how do you live by faith? Jesus gives us an example here. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, the disciples came to Jesus because they couldn't produce a result. And they're asking Him, why weren't we able to produce, basically? And in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 17, Jesus answers their question. And Jesus said unto them, it's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith, now keep in mind, every time you see this word faith, we are to be very interested in it, because without this, we can't please Him. So if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, just an itty bitty amount of faith, you will say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it will be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to him that believeth. Now, notice this here. Jesus is saying, if you have just a small amount of faith, small as a grain of mustard seed, and you make a conscious choice to use that faith, by saying, by speaking, nothing will be impossible unto you. We live by faith by having a belief in our heart and confessing that belief with our mouth. If you're living a life of faith, it means you are believing some things in your heart. But you're also confessing those things with your mouth. Go over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. We'll see this principle here. You've all applied it, at least I would assume the majority of you have applied this principle of faith at least once in your life. Let's look here at this principle in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 8. Now remember, if I'm living by faith, it means I've got a belief in my heart. And even if that belief is as small as a grain of mustard seed, if I release that belief through confession, if I release that belief through speaking, nothing will be impossible unto me. So in essence, Jesus is pointing to the release of faith by saying as being the critical part. He says, if you've just got a small belief as a grain of mustard seed, but you're constantly releasing that belief through saying, nothing will be impossible unto you. We'll see this principle here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? This is Paul writing. The word is nigh you, even in your what? Mouth, and in your what? Heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, what is the word of faith? It's having faith, not only in the word, not only in your heart, but also in your what? Mouth. How are you living by faith? You've got God's word in your heart, but you've also got God's word in your mouth. It means that you believe God's word in your heart, but you're speaking God's word with your mouth. Now notice he keeps talking here, and he says in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you see how this faith principle is working? Your faith walk was started by a belief that got sown into your heart. That belief came from maybe a relative, maybe it came from a preacher, maybe it came from church or a Sunday school teacher or a parent. But you heard that Jesus Christ, he died for you. That God so loved you and loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe would be born again. And you believed that in your heart, and you heard how much God loved you and how Jesus, if you call upon his name, that you can be saved from hell and get over into the kingdom of his dear son. You heard that belief. That belief was sown into your heart. But salvation didn't fully come to you yet. When did it come? At the end of that message, or at the end of that service, or at the end of that conversation, they said, do you want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? He said, yeah, I do. How'd you do it? It wasn't just enough to have a belief in your heart. What'd you do after that? You said it with your mouth. Maybe because you were so new at it, you had to repeat after someone. Repeat after me. I believe. What are you doing? You're releasing that belief with the spoken word. The word is not only in your heart, but the word's about to get in your mouth. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe that on the third day, not only did he die for me, but he rose again from the grave. I confess him, my Lord. I confess him, my Savior. At that moment, you may have not have seen anything or felt any different, but salvation was given to you. At that moment, your faith ripped open heaven and grabbed a hold of salvation and made you a new person. Your old man was washed away and all things were made new. Why? You had a belief in your heart, but you didn't stop there. You released that belief by confessing with your mouth Jesus as your Lord. Friends, that was how your life of faith was started. And that is how your life of faith continues. You hear God's word concerning healing. You hear God's word concerning financial provision. You hear God's word concerning your marriage, concerning your kids, concerning your ability to help missionaries. And you hear God's word concerning tithing and concerning giving. That word gets sown in your heart, but it shouldn't stop there. That word should also be in your mouth. If someone says, will you get in faith with me for a missionary? It's more than just saying, yeah, I'll get in faith. If you're really in faith for that missionary, it means you've got a belief in your heart about what God is going to do for them. Maybe it is, I believe God's going to make a way where there is no way. I believe God's going to open up doors that no man can shut, that gets them before the right people at the right time. I believe every resource is coming to them in abundance. You believe that in your heart, But it doesn't stop there. If you're really in faith for them, what are you doing? You're saying with your mouth, either through prayer or confession, doors are opening up through them. For them. Thank you, Father. They'll be in the right place at the right time. Thank you, Lord. Every financial need is being met on their behalf. Thank you, Father, that their influence is carrying across that nation. That's in faith. That is living by faith. We asked last Sunday, how much faith did you release this week? I want to ask it again to you today. You don't have to answer, but on a scale from 1 to 10, did you really live by faith? How much faith did you release this week? It's not just having a belief in your heart. It's saying it with your mouth. If you believe this is going to be a great year, if you believe this is going to be the best year you've ever had, you not only need to have that belief in your heart, you need to be saying that belief with your mouth. This is going to be the best year I've ever had. Doors are opening up for me. Favor surrounding me like a shield. It's going to be a year filled with health and victory and triumph in every arena of life. That is living by faith. When that is coming out of your mouth, when that belief is not only in your heart, but it is also in your mouth, that is living by faith. Go over to Corinthians. We'll look at this principle here. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Notice what he says here. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. We having the same spirit of what? Of faith. Now notice he's about to talk about and tell you about what the spirit of faith really is. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have done what? Believed, and therefore have I what? Spoken. We also do what? Believe, and therefore we do what? We speak. How does the spirit of faith work? We believe and we believe and we. So if I'm living by faith, if this spirit of faith is taking possession of my life, it will always show up in my words. If I don't have that confession coming out of my mouth, I am not living by faith, friend. And without that faith, it's impossible for me to please him. I must believe. Mark 11, verse 22. Have faith in God according to your faith, be it done unto you. Well, what is that? How do you live by faith? You've got a belief in your heart. You believe God's at work in your business, in your family, in your marriage, in your kids. You believe that in your heart, but you don't stop there. You're also confessing that belief with your mouth. If you're in faith, you're going to be speaking. The spirit of faith is believing with your heart and confessing with your mouth. You know, this is a subject that a lot of people, they don't fully understand. But friends, if you've read any of your Bible, there are plenty of things you can't understand. I don't know how God is the blessed three in one. I can't grasp all of eternity and how eternity works, how God always was and how we'll always be. Those principles, I can't explain those things in words as accurately as I would like, but that's what faith is all about. It's like Brother Hagin said. He said, as a kid, I couldn't understand how a brown cow could eat green grass. And with that green grass being eaten, produce white milk. And when that white milk was churned, make yellow butter. But the whole time I'm trying to figure it out, I'm a drinking the milk and I'm a spreading the butter. And friends, you may not understand, does what I say really matter? Is there really life and death and the power of the tongue, blessing and cursing can come? You may not understand all of that. But friends, I'm telling you, according to the scripture, you will eat the fruit of your words. And just as according to your faith it is done unto you, you could say according to the beliefs you have in your heart and the confession that's coming out of your mouth, it will be done unto you. If you could say it this way, if you say so, it will be so. If you say so, it will be so. To the natural mind, you even hear preachers make fun of, it's just that blab it and grab it bunch and confess it and possess it and ridicule all of that. When we ridicule that, we are ridiculing the spirit of faith. When we make fun of that, it is making fun of the very thing that pleases God. And friend, I'm telling you, God wants his children living by faith. And to live by faith, we've got to get a belief in our heart and a confession in our mouth. That's how you got born again, and that's how you access everything else by God. Having faith in him, a belief in your heart, and a confession in your mouth. You remember back in the Old Testament, Moses was leading the children of Israel over into the promised land. And on one particular day, right on the brink of the promised land, on one particular day, there was no water there. And they were in a dry and barren place. And this has happened to them once before. And Moses got up on top of the rock and he smote the rock with his staff. You know the story. And when he did, it said water came forth from the rock. Well, here they were again a second time in a place where there was no water. And Moses gets up on top of the rock and he's about ready to smite it. And the Lord speaks to his heart and he says, Moses, no. I don't want you to smite the rock. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to speak to it. Do this by faith. And the Bible says that all the eyes of the children of Israel were upon Moses. What are you going to do, Moses? And he's feeling this pressure. And in his mind, I guess he thinks, surely I can't speak to the rock and tell water to come forth. Surely there's got to be a different way. That just seems like foolishness to me to stand in front of a rock and speak to it. You ever notice how God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise? And he gets there and you can tell he's weighing on which choice should I make. And instead of speaking to the rock, he smites it with his rod. And when he did, nothing happened. So you know what he does? He smites it again. And on the second time, water came forth from the rock. But after it did, God spoke to his heart. You know what he said? He said, because of your disobedience, you will no longer be able to enter into the promised land. And this is what he said. It's in the book of Numbers. He said, because you refuse to sanctify me before the eyes of the people. Basically, their faith was not in God. It was in Moses' rod. And God wanted their faith to be in him because when they got over into the promised land, guess what was the first thing that they faced? City of Jericho. What was the city of Jericho made out of? A whole bunch of rocks with a wall of rocks built up all the way around it. How did God bring those rocks down? He needed a voice of faith. And when those people shouted, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. God wanted to inspire faith in their hearts that day, that it was not Moses' rod, but the force of God released through words that could do the impossible. Because he needed that faith for when they got over into the land of Jericho. Friends, I want to encourage you. We can't be like Moses and try to figure out how our words really matter. We've just got to sit back and use our words. I love where it talks about over in the book of Mark chapter 16, the Lord working with them. Let's go over there and look at it. Let's not just talk about it. Let's look at it. Go over to Mark. Your faith is not to be in my wisdom. It's to be in the Word of God. Let's look at it from His Word. Book of Mark chapter 16. And let's look at verse 20. Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. It says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them." Could the Lord work with you? Sure he could. He's not a respecter of persons. The Lord was working with them. You look up this word working, it means he was working with them. He was helping them. You know, if you've ever done a big job and someone came and worked with you on that job, it meant that you now had their help available to you. It meant that you weren't doing it in your own strength anymore. You had the help of another individual. You know, if you were, cutting arts and crafts for the preschool department and someone came and worked with you, it means that you're no longer just cutting crafts in your own ability. You have someone else's ability. They're helping you, which makes your job a whole lot easier. As Brother Dean always says, many hands make like work. When you have a lot of people helping you, it makes the work that you're doing a whole lot easier. Jesus said, hey, if you're tired, worn out, stressed out, you need to do something. You need to stop what you're doing and come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. And that word yoke means teaching. In the Old Testament, when a rabbi would sit under another rabbi and listen to his teaching, it would be called taking his yoke upon you. And Jesus said, if you're tired and worn out, you need my teaching. You need to hear some words from me. Because there are things that God and Jesus long to do to help us. Here we see an example of the Lord working with them. Well, how is he working with them? Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. They went forth and preached the word. That was their job, to preach the word. And then it was the Lord's job to confirm the word with signs following. They preached it, the Lord did it. They preached it, the Lord did it. They said it, the Lord did it. Their job was to do the saying. God's job was to do the doing. They worked together as co-laborers. How do you work in this life? We work. We live by faith. How does faith work? We get a belief in our heart. We believe, we release that belief with the spoken word of our mouth. When we do that, we are using faith. And faith is the tool that enables God to go to work. That is why with faith, nothing is impossible. Because it's not that you're so special or so good looking, although we are good looking. It's not because of that, though. And it's not because faith is so powerful. It is because God is so powerful. And our faith is the tool that God has ordained before time began to unleash his power on this earth. It's like I told first service. It's like getting behind your car. You could get a brand new sports car and it's chock full of power. But it's not you like Fred Flintstone producing that power. It's you getting in that seat and having the key to that car. Not just a key to any car, the key to that car. Getting in with that key, putting in the ignition and turning it on. When you turn it on, the power that was lying dormant for so long instantly becomes activated, becomes alive, and the power that the maker of that engine instilled in that car becomes available to your disposal. And you crank it up, and then you have that power available. You can drive that car wherever you want. Friends, God is the car. He is the engine. You are the driver, and faith is the key. It's not you being so powerful or even faith being so powerful. It is that you make a decision to use the key to turn on the power. Faith is the key that God ordained to access His power. There are a lot of keys to a lot of different things in life. There are wisdom keys, success keys, but there is only one key that unleashes God in this earth. It is not need. It is not desire. It is not tears. It is not anything other than faith. Faith unleashes God's ability. And when you make a decision to use your faith, the same power that saved you from hell is the same power that will save you from whatever you need saving from. That force of faith. But we have to make a decision to use it. We have to make a decision to live by it. The way you live by faith is waking up every day and saying what you believe, either through confession or through prayer. You wake up every day and you say what you believe. Last week, we talked about that if to live by faith, it's going to involve primarily three areas of our life: desires, need, and the kingdom of God. That when we live by faith, we're using our faith for those three things: what we desire, what we need, and for the kingdom of God. I can't wait to get to that third point, because what's happened a lot in even Word of Faith churches, if you will, is everyone has majored on point number one, what we desire, and that's all people use their faith for. That's a dangerous place to be. It leads to the love of money. It leads to a whole bunch of other things, because God does want to give us the desires of our heart, but that's not what we're to live for. There are two other areas to use our faith for: our needs, things that are urgent, a bad doctor's report, things like that. But then also the kingdom of God. We're to be in faith for our nation. We are to be in faith for our leaders and government officials. We are to be in faith for those things. And to be in faith for our desires, for our needs, and for the kingdom of God, it means we believe that God is at work in all three of those areas. But not only do we believe that, we are saying that, either through confession or prayer. I'll say this in closing. I'm beginning to close. We're not fully closed, but the door is, it's inching that way. With these three different areas, we said faith begins where the will of God is known. That to have faith in God, it's not having a faith in a preacher. It's not good enough to say Pastor Joel says. It's only good enough to say the Word of God says. That we have scriptures that support our case. And we looked at last week, when it comes to the desires of our heart, we looked at some scriptures that prove that God wants us to have our desires met, to have our things that if all they did was give us joy, God wants us to enjoy those things. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, and I'll give to you that your joy may be full. God cares about your joy. And we talked about that last week, about having faith that God wants to meet our desires and to not just go after these desires with our own strength, but to be in faith for those things. And I mentioned this last week, but I want to close this message with this, because it talks about what we've been talking about this whole morning. When you're in faith for a need, it's different than when you're in faith for a desire. It's important to distinguish between the two. A need, it has a sense of urgency to it. You need it. There's a deadline to it. Maybe the doctor's only given you a certain amount of time to live. Maybe you've only got a certain amount of time to pay the bill. You've only got a certain amount of time to turn this house situation around, or it's going to get foreclosed, or a certain amount of time to turn this business around before the funds dry up. When you're in faith for a need, it's different than when you're in faith for a desire. When you're in faith for a need, the biggest thing that you have to guard against is fear. And we'll talk about this later, but God's given you a tool called the shield of faith that can combat that fear. But when you're in faith for a need, you have that pressure weighing on you of we've got to turn this around. So the pressure reminds you to use your faith, but you also have to resist that fear at the same time. When you're in faith for a desire is optional. It doesn't have that pressure tied to it. So there's no reminder there to use your faith. And where most people miss it when it comes to faith, they get in faith, they're confessing that belief, they're meditating on scriptures that support their case, but they're doing it for a day, maybe a week. But then 2 weeks passed and they're not saying their faith anymore. They're not really living by faith. They live by faith, but today, I'm just distracted by other things. Mark chapter 4 tells us that every attack that comes in your life from the enemy is all trying to do one thing, and that's to get the word away from you. Where is the word supposed to be according to the scriptures that we mentioned earlier today? The word is supposed to be in your heart and in your mouth. The enemy does not want either one of those things. The tests that he brings your way, they are after the word. He doesn't want you speaking the word anymore. And so we'll get distracted by other things. We'll let our attention wane, and where once our faith was fervent and steady and consistent, now it's drifted by the wayside. Friend, if you get in faith, here's the key. This is what separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls. If you get in faith and stay in faith, you will see the results of faith every time. But you have to make a conscious effort, if you're believing God for something, to keep believing God for it. If it's for a vacation, then it would be something like saying, Father, I thank you. You want my joy full. You know my family could use a vacation. I thank you, Lord, that all the funds we need for this vacation are coming to us. Then every day, what are you doing after that? You're not praying the same prayer in unbelief. You're saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, all the money that we need's coming to us. You said in your word that you'd meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. All of those funds are coming. Maybe it's for a child to make better grades. You would say, thank you, Father, initially. Thank you, Father, that the life of God is the light of men. That you make them wise and of a quick understanding. That they have a spirit of seeing and knowing. And then every time you see that kid before they go to school, you know what you're telling them? You have the mind of Christ. Everything you hear in class, you can understand. He's given you a spirit of seeing and knowing. You would say that to him every day. If your husband's going and working a job or your wife is, why don't, before they leave, you wash them in the water of the word? And you tell them everything you put your hand to prospers. Just like Joseph, your business, that business you're working in, it will prosper just because you're there. God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Favor surrounding you like a shield. See, that's not only having the word in a Bible, but that also means the word is in your heart, and now the word is in your mouth, and that means you're living by faith. Friend, I want to encourage you. Wash your children with the water of the word. Wash your job with the water of the word. Your husband, your wife, wash them in the water of the word. And when you do that, you are unleashing faith, which unleashes God Almighty to begin working in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience. Let's pray before we leave this place.